Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
I've titled my sermon this evening, I've titled it Metamorphosis, The Courage to Change. The Courage to Change. The Courage to Change. Listen, there is a text that I like to share every time I'm talking about a topic like this. And I want to start, preface all that I'm going to say with that text. If you've been following my teaching ministry, you know this text very well, but I want to use this as a foundation. Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. You know, ironically, after I had already preached on this, I saw a video by the late Mount Morrow, and he talked about how he visited Egypt and he saw something very intriguing. He saw that the journey from Egypt to the promised land on foot shouldn't take more than 30 days. On foot. And so from a distance, he could already see the promised land. And so, I mean, it left an indelible mark in his mentality that, wow. It's one thing for you to read that it took them that long, 40 years. It is one thing, it's another thing for you to be there and to see it, that this place isn't that far. And so the Bible says this is, you've opened, right? Just so that we don't read all of it, where is the verse I'm looking for right now? I don't know, my note is misbehaving. Is that verse 17, right? It says, then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although it was near, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Oh my God. I don't even know how to explain how important this is. Here, many people are in church praying against delay. And when some things elude them, they say God's time is the best. What if it's not God's time? What if it is you hindering God's plan for your life by your lack of maturity? You simply cannot handle it. There is some greatness, some promised land that is for you, that you have not matured to the person that you need to be to enjoy that level of prominence. Please, are you listening to this? And so you can be there religiously saying in a cliche fashion, God's time is the best. What if it's really not about God's time? And that God is counting on you to finally grow up? The reason he didn't take them the short route was because they were not ready for it. He says, lest they see war. Listen, one of the biggest lessons I've learned in life, and it's an audacious statement to make, I believe that 9 out of 10 people are living below their potential, including Christians. 9 out of 10 people, that there are many things that will elude you in God and in life if you are not brave enough. Many things. No matter how hardworking you are, no matter how prayerful you are, there is a level of greatness that you cannot achieve without sheer audacity. And even if you are prayerful, there are some things that unbelievers will outclass you in just by sheer audacity. There are many people who are doing more with audacity than people are achieving with prayers. You may not want to hear this in church, but I'm telling you the truth. You know it's true if you're honest. Because before there was ever a church, God gave man dominion. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the charge to have dominion was not given to Christians. It was given to man. And so when you see people who are just naturally audacious, who refuse to take no for an answer, who will keep coming back generally in life, you will just discover that eventually life will become more favorable. They may not be the richest. They may not be the best, but you will never see them stagnant. Please, are you listening to me? And so, if you are not brave, even God will protect you. And say, let's not kill him. He can't take it. The first thing God did when he was preparing me for all that we're doing now was to increase my capacity. Increase my capacity. I tell you the truth before God. The day I have 100 billion, you will not know. You will not know. Because I will be the same. I will greet people the same way. Play the same way. You see, God has expanded my capacity. You can throw a lot of money inside. It will settle. I'm telling you. That's one of the biggest things God did for me. And you will almost never see me and have a clue the battles I'm facing. You will never know. We can even be living in the same house. You don't know. This is how champions are made. You are not supposed to look like what you are going through. You are not supposed to look like the burdens you are carrying. Do you understand what I'm saying? And see, let me tell you this. I am saying that if you don't learn to fight, greatness will elude you. And even God will protect you from it for your own good. This is Bible we're sharing. And so, before I say any other thing today, I want to help you come out of that self-sabotage. It takes courage to change. It takes courage to believe that you can amount to something. It takes courage to believe that you can do more with your life. And that God can achieve great things through you. It takes courage to see great people, be happy for them, but not be intimidated. That's what we want to talk about today. Please, are you listening to me? That's what we want to talk about. That you see everybody, it doesn't matter the car they are driving, you're just like, you're happy for them, you know, for this Lagos, my own is coming. Just don't worry. I think it is people who have already resigned to fate that they don't have a chance. It is people like that who are jealous. Hallelujah. But when you know that your own is inevitable, you know, first to own our old model. You know what I'm saying? For this country, we're all coming. And there is space for everybody to fly. Hallelujah. Help me preach that to the person by your side. Say, I'm coming. Oh, just chill. Hallelujah. You know, I went to a very wealthy man's house to pray for him years and years ago. Because by the grace of God, I had prayed for his son and his son was healed. And so he really wanted to see me. And then we got talking and he talked about how he had I think some 20 acres of land or something ridiculous like that. They were on the field about to start a project. And some boys just came, hey. And then, you know, this rich porch man, he doesn't want any trouble. So he just left the land and went. True life story. He said he does not want to fight. You know, I'm a man of God. I couldn't say, where's the place? We go drag him. I've seen different types of people in this life. I don't know if you've heard me tell the story. I was preaching to someone. One of the first few times I had the privilege to fly business class, local flights, you know, years ago. And, you know, this young boy by my side, fresh, you know, like a hip-hop artist. And I just began to talk to him. I said, where will you go if you die? He said, have you heard of hell, you know, and all of that? It's a real place, you know. He now said, but you know, life is so hard. Are we not in hell already? I said, bro, you know, see, let me tell you. You don't understand. Money has spoiled people. And then this young man told me how his family had a family home somewhere on the island. And then one night, robbers came with guns and they robbed from them, I think, you know, beat some of them. And they were so traumatized, all of them left the house. Nobody has gone there. At that time, in 5 years, nobody had gone there. He said, oh, we're so traumatized. That in trauma. He said, being in the house did them somehow that they were remaining small. I wanted to say, write the address here. write it here. We will help you live there. Have you seen the trending memes where someone was mistakenly paid for rent in a haunted house and then the ghost came? We've been disturbing people in this house from generation to generation. And the person was like, ah! And the ghost said, run for your life. He said, eh? You know how much be rent? Run in Lagos. Come on, sit down. I will shift for you. Can't you coexist? Wrong call. Now, it might look like I'm cracking jokes, but I am telling you, there will be many times in life you will need this. Listen, grow up. Life is not a bed of roses. I'm telling you, I wish it was. There will be unfavorable circumstances. There is a kind of fickleness that you cannot keep having, just at the slightest inconvenience. That's how you get married. You say, you did not return my charger. I want a divorce. You know, just see, some people just aren't ready for life. There is a type of spine you must have. Please, are you listening to me? A type of spine. A type of spine. Courage to change. When you read in the Bible that a shepherd boy, they went to call him as he was watching sheep, and they just imagine what he felt like. You enter into the house and you see a prophet with oil. Even in your house, you are not respected. But the prophet said, God said, you are the next king. Kneel down. Pours oil on your head. How do you begin to make that shift in your mind first and foremost? Are you aware that the change must happen in your mind? Hi. It must happen in your mind. You are in prison. Then they call you. Wear your clothes, shave your beard. You are needed in the palace. It must happen in your mind. You must conceive the possibility of greatness, that you who has all your life been at a low point, being of low degree, God can elevate you. He wants you at that vantage point for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of the people around your life who must be blessed in your blessing. Say loud, amen. Amen. You know, sometimes I look at my life and I'm so grateful, it moves me to tears. That I have the privilege to help people without any conditions. You don't have to do anything. It disarms them. They don't know what to do. When we just call a gospel artist somewhere, buy them a car, and they're like, what do we do? Do we join your church? No. You don't have to. Hallelujah. Nothing. Don't want anything from you. God said to do it. And I look at the people that have been privileged to help, and it moves me to tears. And without announcements on social media or anywhere. You know, I was having lunch somewhere with some celebrities, and one of them said, let me cast this pastor. Do you know this person? He bought him a car. And the person said, oh, really? And I could see the shock on the person's face. Well, glory be to God. Why am I telling you this? Because that will be the story of your life, you know? I call it help and walk away. Sometimes you will leave them wondering all their life, was that a real human being or an angel? They don't know. Anonymous gifts that will shake people like this. Anon. Keep me Anon. Rehearse it, right? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is the beginning of that season in your life. I said, this is the beginning of that season in your life. Young boy going about your life, and then one day you dream. Sun, moon, and 11 stars bowing. You are not ambitious, but God gave you. It's a dream that God gave you. You were on your own. Listen, this is not motivation. I'm talking about siding with God regarding what he wants to do in your life. There must be a holy indifference. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you remember what we shared on Sunday? I have learned to abound and to abase. There must be that balance. It's not like if I don't have a lot of money, I will feel less a Christian or less effective. But God must not look away because he doesn't see capacity to handle resources. Never, not me. If you have learned how to be abased all your life, learn how to abound also. Because we need good men who know how to handle big resources. We need it. If not for you, think of people. People who will be blessed because of you. Blessed by your generosity. Think about it. I can't remember when I said it. I said, even if you don't want, you must blow in the name of Jesus. Some of you are not like. I said, even if you don't want, you must, for the sake of the gospel. When the money comes, choose what you do with it. Just give all of it to me. Hallelujah. But such metamorphosis at least must be conceived. You know, I've seen a lot of people try to explain some of the things happening in my life. I've heard all kinds of things about me that are untrue. Some said, no, his parents are stinkingly rich. I said, amen. Do you understand? But it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. I wish I could tell you some things. I don't need to. But it's not true. You don't understand. Okay, to be clear, at the early point of my life, things were very good, then they got very bad. When I say very bad, I mean very bad. I mean very bad, like we had to plant our own veggies in the backyard. That's what the kind of thing I'm talking about. I think we must have gone 2 years without eating meat at some point. Except maybe Christmas Day. When I say very bad, I mean rent became such a burden. My dad just woke up one day and said, we are moving to that uncompleted building. It was our house, but there was no longer money to finish it. So there were rooms in the house that had red sand, laterites. You don't understand. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Can you imagine? There was nothing we didn't kill in that house, but Talatuna spider, we killed at least two. You know Talatuna spider? One day, my dad wanted to put his leg inside shoe like this. Scorpion came out. Before you sleep, you first pray for protection. You know, this they won't ask, they won't beg you. You will pray. There are some challenges that bring out the prayer champion in you. You don't understand? Our house was in the bush. See, surrounded by bush. I will say this, corner any member of my family and ask them, because what I'm about to say, you will not believe. That there were very tall trees around the place where my family house was and still is. And then, because we couldn't afford a fence, you know, it was just dwarf, just like 3 coaches or so. And we would sit on it in the cool of the day and see monkeys jumping from tree to tree. Free entertainment. Monkeys. Oh my God. Corner any one of my relatives and ask them if I'm lying. I can tell you stories. Animal adventures. Animal adventures. You'll be sweeping the house like this. You know, the same way you remove cushions pillows in the cushion. You open cushion like this. You will see snake has changed skin under. Yes. They have changed skin. Nice Louis Vuitton, this thing. they play. LV. In your sitting room. Hallelujah. So things changed through aggressive prayer, trusting in God and all of that. Things got better. But even then, we were not stinkingly rich. Everything God told me to do, he funded by himself. Are you listening to me? Mm-hmm. He funded by himself. So all that is happening is a mystery to everyone, including my family. You know, I took a picture with someone and because the person is doing well, they assumed that, you know, people are looking for an excuse, determined to look for an excuse. You know, and they said, that's the person that is funding our ministry. Let me say this with all sense of humility. There is nobody funding this ministry. I appreciate every gift, every donation, and Make no mistake. If you want to fund this ministry, I don't mind. I'm not proud, though. It's just a lot of money. Fund Celebration Church. Even if you don't have the numbers, try, just estimate in your mind. Just estimate the Lagos branches alone. Five of them in Lagos alone. Ain't nobody doing that. And then unfortunately, the person that they said, the person in particular, she. Hallelujah. Make no mistake. The story of this ministry will not be complete without the sacrifice and generosity of people. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm saying it's been God. You cannot just explain it away. There's nothing to say. It's been God. And then the same God is telling you he can take you from where you are to where he wants you to be. Say loud amen. Amen. And so, I think the first thing to do is just to embrace the possibility that my life can radically and positively change. That's where I want you to begin. My life can radically and positively change. And begin to internalize it. Embrace the possibility. You know, start making small changes in your life. Emphasis on small changes. We'll talk about the big changes, but small changes. If you can make changes to your appearance this year, make changes. Even if you have two shirts, make sure it is pressed, starched. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. And I'm not going to dwell on this because this is not called Christian doctrine. But you see, dressing creates an image. It's a powerful image. Tell me the truth. Have you ever dressed and felt powerful before? Don't play with that. Imagine what happens if you try to do that every day. You can begin to live in your future just by your dressing. I'm telling you. I'm not talking about anything ostentatious. I'm not talking about designer. I'm talking about just doing the best you can afford to look clean and sharp. It's a powerful mental picture. Powerful mental picture. One of the first things I did, and it don't have to be this extreme. One of the first things I did when I knew God had called me, I got two tables in my room, put them side by side, adjacent, L-shape. I was trying to mimic office table in my room as an undergraduate. Put printer, I had a printer, put laptop. I have one laptop that I was probably more intelligent than, you know. But I just put it like this, you know. I even snapped the picture, put my hand on the table like this. Then I took the picture to one of my friends who was doing Photoshop. He was still learning, but you know, I said, color the table black. I'm telling you. And I pasted it on my door. Pasted it on my door. I'm going somewhere. I don't look like it, but I'm going somewhere. I don't look like I have any advantage, but I'm going somewhere. It looks like I have no help, no one, but I'm going somewhere. Listen, are you receiving what I'm saying? Just make small changes. Give yourself a chance in divine prophecy. At least try to see from God's perspective. When the angel appears to Mary and says, highly favored of God, you never saw yourself highly favored. So what do you do? You must renew your mind and start seeing yourself as someone who is favored. Your experience might not seem like that, but God says you're highly favored. Start saying what God is saying. Amen, somebody. Another small change you must make is this. Surround yourself with possibility. Surround yourself with possibility. Surround yourself with people. Are you ready for what I'm about to say? People who still believe it is possible to make it even in a nation like this. You don't understand if everyone around you is just saying, no matter what, if you want to survive, just leave this nation. It's doing something to you. It's doing something to you. If you can go, go, Sha, but you know. But if you are here, the land must respond to you. Did you hear what I said? It must, for this land. For this land. You see, I have an anointing that can bring treasures out of difficult lands. What I carry is greater. What I carry is greater. It doesn't matter, home or abroad, we are good. Amen, somebody. It works everywhere. It works everywhere. It works everywhere. Listen, what I'm telling you is my mentality in ministry, is my mentality in anything I do. It works everywhere. It works everywhere. And that's the reason Celebration Church is Celebration Church everywhere. Amen, somebody. It works everywhere. Change your appearance, surround yourself with possibility. And then this next one, vow never to give up. Just vow. Listen, anticipate challenges, but just embrace it that no matter how bad things get, I will not give up. I will be close to it. I will feel like it. I will contemplate it, but I will just stand up and move on. A righteous man falls 7 times, but he will rise again. Do you believe that? Let me tell you something. There is nobody who can be successful consistently in this world without tenacity. You just have to have, you see, you have to embrace pain as part of the progress. It's part of the process. You know, I was looking at, I've watched interviews of top athletes. And they say something that people don't talk about enough. There is a level you get to in professional sports where you live perpetually with pain. Are you aware? Most of your heroes have pain somewhere. You know, I saw a picture, and I think you may be able to find it on the internet. An X-ray of all the places Kobe Bryant had done operation. I think something ridiculous like 100 surgeries. Can you imagine that? Usain Bolt was saying, does the pain ever stop? Does the pain? Henry Thierry also did an interview just recently where he said he was constantly in pain. One of the UFC stars, the Nigerian, you know, what's this guy's name? Kamaru Usman. He cannot climb down a stairs forward. He has to go backward because his knees are gone. His knees are gone. His knees are gone. So, listen, there is a level of greatness. You must accept pain as part of the process. I saw a very, very beautiful illustration. Says, see yourself as a pencil. For a pencil to be useful, it has to be sharpened. Isn't that true? And just imagine that a pencil had feelings. Sharpening will be very painful. But you cannot be useful without it. You can't be useful without it. You can't write, you can't contribute without pain. What if you embraced it as part of life? There is something we Christians do. We're always praying against pain. But what if you came to the mentality of Paul and say, in all these things, it's a different mentality. Do you understand what I'm saying? That my definition of victory is not a life void of pain, but a life in spite of pain. that having done all, we will still stand. Say loud amen.
Amen.
When you are saying, you look at your future and you say, there is nothing in the devil's arsenal that can bring me down. If he throws his best shots, I will be standing. That's what the Bible means when it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is. He has peeped into the devil's arsenal. And he says that there is no weapon there that can bring you down. You know, the same way, has it ever happened to you that a child was playing and was like, I'll beat you, I'll beat you. And you were just like, you were faking it as if you were in pain. And you say, oh yeah, tell him sorry. You won't play that game with an adult. If they give you blow here. Why can you do it for a child? Because you know, even if he throws his best shot, it won't hurt you. Come on, are you getting this? So the Bible says, greater is he that is in you. God has peeped into your future and he's saying, nothing will bring you down. There will be no pain that will be terminal. Are you listening to me? All of that was introduction, so let's quickly move on now. So turn your Bibles in this year of the Joshua generation. Turn your Bibles, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. This was one of the first texts that I memorized as a child. I remember it. I was in children's church, and they made us recite it. They said they were going to give biscuit to the person who could remember it. So I crammed it real quick, and I never forgot it. Everybody, Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. 1, 2, go. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord is with you. Oh my God. Wherever you go. Oh my God. Oh Jesus, 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 Jesus. Everybody, I want you to read this as though the Lord were speaking to you. 1, 2, go. Hallelujah. Hi, my God. The person he's talking to is a young soldier. He's about to face the formidable army of nations, strong nations. And this is akin to the vulnerability you feel as a young man, new in an industry. You just graduated from school and you are seeing visions, prophecies about you, the great things that God will accomplish. Literally, God is promising to give Joshua land. And God can see that he's a little fidgety and he says, have I not commanded you? Some of you, that's the word of the Lord to you. Because God has told you, you are still afraid. And so he said, have I not told you? Did I not tell you? And that's reiteration, because there is almost nothing I'm saying today that you have not already heard. And so it's a reminder. I told you already. Be strong and of good courage. Be not dismayed. Do you know what it means to dismay? The Hebrew word actually means to prostrate. Hey, my God. It means to be beat down to submission. It's not talking about humility. It's talking about low self-esteem. Where you just see giants in your industry and you're intimidated. God said, don't be like that. So what if you had such a balance of character where you could see people who are great, you are happy for them, but you know you too. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's inevitable. Your season is coming. And you know, this is powerful in our context. When God tells an African man, you can be humble, you can prostrate, but don't be beat down. Listen to me. In our culture, there is no table, there is no seat at the table for young people. Did you hear what I said? There is no, if you are waiting, you know what you should do? Go to the carpenter. Go and make your own and bring it. Are you listening to me? Let no one despise your youth. He says, be strong and very courageous. Listen, this is the story of my life. Go and check the oldest pictures of Celebration Church and see if the person you are seeing today you don't understand, maybe there was any difference. If I stood like someone who was timid, look for the oldest videos. Watch how I spoke. Watch how I spoke. Watch how I dressed. Watch how we did church. We didn't have any resources, but we put our best. I was involved in the decoration. We went to carpenter. I would sit down. No money for LED screen, but we will come correct. Don't worry. We will come up with a design that will reflect seriousness. Do you understand what I'm saying? I just refused to be small. I just refused. There are great ministries everywhere, yet God in his wisdom still thought to anoint someone afresh. It means my voice must be heard. There must be a uniqueness to me for him to still call me, despite all these great ministries. So, well, God, thank you for this great ministry, but I'm coming. Did you hear what I said? Please, are you listening to me? I wore prophecy with a chip on my shoulder. I know what God said. You know, there was this singer. He was singing for one big church. And we were friends. So I knew he was about to make a transition. So I was trying to tell him, you know, can you join us? We can't pay you, but I want you to believe in our vision. You know, then he was talking to me and he said, well, I don't mind leaving a big ministry to a small ministry. When I heard small ministry, I said, don't join us again. That was the last time I told him about joining us. Small ministry, where? Which ministry is small? Small ministry, don't come again. I will never work with someone who thinks so small. We have never been small. Never been small. I never saw lack. I never saw scarcity. Do you know the kind of mind you have to have as a fresh graduate to print 10,000 copies of devotional and give it free? Those are the things I did. Go and do your research. I never saw smallness. He said, be strong and very courageous. Listen, and so let's bring it home. As far as it concerns you, don't be dismayed by greatness. In your industry, don't be dismayed. Honor all people. Don't trivialize the sacrifices and the achievements of people. But never, in your honor, surrender your star. Did you hear what I said? You are coming too. There is a uniqueness to you. There is a reason God put his hand on you. And the story is not complete until you arrive. Did you hear what I said? I said the story is not complete until you arrive. Be not dismayed. These were my meditations. You know, I've been saying it since. I said there is no... You might believe it now, but I've been saying it since at least 14 years ago. That there is no platform you will give me a mic, then my knees will be buckling. I'm saying it with all sense of humility. There is no platform that can overwhelm my spirit. That because of the light, the stage, the crowd, then I will now be stammering. Never. Because I rehearsed for it in my room, facing the mirror. I knew there will be a time. I will stand and I will not be able to see the back. I knew that time was coming. You've seen the old picture of our first hall where I stood like this. You don't take where I crazy. So. I mean, think about it. We were going to pay for the hall. I wore suits. Empty hall.
The pictures are there. Go and check. Facebook. And I stood in front of the empty hall and I did like this. You know, I pointed at the gallery because I, do you understand? I knew there would be a time the galleries would be full. I knew it. I knew it. We had not had a single service at the time, but I knew it. Please, are you listening to me? Why am I taking my time to tell you this? Because it doesn't matter the prophecy on your life. Without this kind of courage, you won't achieve anything. That's no prophecy of doom. It's a fact. Start internalizing the possibility of greatness. Are you with me? Start rehearsing for it. Train for it. And he says, for the Lord is with you. This is the difference between what we are talking about and motivation. Motivation will tell you, you are more than this. You are more than this. There's a next level. Mm-mm. That is not our motivation. Our motivation is the Lord is with you. What you are doing, God asked you to do it. That's why you cannot be afraid. Who are you afraid of when God said go? Who are you afraid of? Why are you scared? Is it your idea? Did God not send you? Then go! Listen to me. Generally in life, if you wake up every day with a determination to give it your best, and I mean your very best, I don't mean the one where they give you your result and you say, they gave me B, they gave me C. You don't understand? We all pretend to give our best sometimes. You know that's true. But when you wake up every day determined to give your best, every single day, there is something about life that is designed to cave into such a person and eventually give you what is your due. I'm telling you, more often than not, I'm not just talking about hard work. I'm talking about giving your very best. That every day you are constantly thinking of how to improve your life, what to do better, and you are doing it. More often than not, life will cave into such a person. It will yield to such a person his due. This has been my story for as long as I can remember. I'm always improving. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm always up to something. Always up to something. I say this with all sense of humility. If you congratulate me, you have to be specific what you're congratulating me for. You have to be specific. Because some of my wins last year, if you had just one, it's enough. For the average person, if you had just one, it's enough. It's enough for the whole year. That if you remove ministry, remove everything, you know, I produced 3 movies. Not many movie makers. Well, you can clap, but you know, just stop it, I'm shy. You know, so my investments in music alone, if it was just that, it's enough highlight for the year. In movies alone, if it was just that, it's enough highlight for the year. I mean, it doesn't matter how you slice it, I give my best to everything. In ministry, planting 16 churches. Personal goals, personal improvements. Please, are you listening to me? Always thinking, okay, now I'm busy, but there are some things that must never change in my life. You get what I'm saying? I will find a way. All right, I can't go to the gym. Let's have one at home. Even going to the barbing salon takes too much time. Let's have one at home. You know, so I am constantly reinventing myself in a way that can accommodate the new reality without the quality dropping. I still read way more books than the average person. Yes. With my schedule. Way more. When I say way more, it's not close. Hallelujah. You want me to put a number to it? November, 6 books. Did you hear what I said? Last November, 6. How did I do it? Come for the master class. but you see, you just must keep improving. You know, there is a church I attended for a while, just for a month years ago, because I was there for a brief time. And I learned something just by observing. That every single week, they would tweak something little. They would just tweak something little. There was always something new, no matter how little. Maybe they will rearrange the flower verse or put a new flower or something. And I saw gradual but consistent commitments to improvement. I said, what if my life is like that? What if you treated your life like a company? Are you aware that the same way companies have SWOT analysis, you can have personal SWOT analysis? Do you understand what I'm saying? Where you're working with such a self-awareness, you know your strengths, you know your weaknesses, and you have come up with a personal strategy. You have studied the shape of your head. You know the hairstyle that works best. I hope you know not every hairstyle works. You will learn the hard way. Don't let. Just be intentional. Hallelujah. And so God is telling you courage is necessary. You may have a call, but courage is necessary. See, let me say this to you. Remember I said 9 out of 10 people live below their potential? They will never know. It's in heaven that they will discover. 9 out of 10 ministries live below their potential. And this is not ministers' conference, but let me use this as an example and quickly tell you. You see, and I have spoken to great pastors who have opened up to me about this. You know what it means to build your own place? Some people, it takes them so much fighting power that when they do it, that's all. It looks like it's an unofficial retirement. Don't disturb me again. They don't want anything. And so when first service is full, they do second service. When second service is full, they do third service, which not many people really go for. But it just seems like more activity. And when third service is full, some will do fourth service, but others will just say, well, we've done our best. It takes a certain level of bravery to abandon a building that you built and go to a bigger space. But not many people can do it. And guess what? If that's where you can stop, God will say, okay. Because when God says gather vessels, the miracle is dependent on more vessels. Where the vessel stops, the wine ceases. And God, listen, God will not say, why now? Get more. You just say, okay. That's what you could take. That's what you do. There are some things you will not touch if you are not brave. There are some instructions God will not even give you directly. I don't know if you know. The Bible says Paul went to Troas and a great and effectual door was opened there. God did not tell him ahead of time that there is a great opportunity. Go to Troas. No. He went to Troas out of a sense of responsibility to the Great Commission. Just obeying the general, you know, just imagine, for instance, you just decided to give life your best because God said have dominion. It's simple for you. There are some things that you will realize There are some winds you will see that you wouldn't otherwise have seen. I'm telling you. Just by giving life more effort than the average person. See, I do not believe that you can give life the kind of intensity I give it, and your life will not amount to something meaningful. At least, it's not possible. You know, I was talking to someone this morning, and he said, after he observed me for a while, he told his dad, he said, I've found someone that no matter what he's doing in this life, he will succeed. He said, he told his dad, if he is selling akara, it will be the best akara in town. That's what he told his dad. I said, wow, high praises. Just give life your best. And the reason God said be courageous is because, don't you understand? See, let me say this. If you want to understand how important it is for you to be courageous, consider that Jesus will see a blind man. The blind man will say, have mercy on me. And then Jesus will say, what do you want me to do? You must be specific. God has given you free will. And so he will not just help you because he sees you need help. You have to want it and ask for it. Are you listening to me? You have to side with God. God will only partner with you based on what you release your faith for. See, you might have tried many things and failed in the past. Don't be beat down. Be not dismayed. Please help me preach this to the person by your side. Say, be not dismayed. Be not... Listen, oh my God. Be not dismayed. Get up and try again. Just don't give up. Another reason you need courage is this. Because the moment you decide to get serious in life, there will be opposition. I am telling you, there are some people that are more convenient giving you handouts. Because they like that vantage point. They like... You know, some people are threatened by courage. The moment David was asking, he was just asking, what shall be given to the man who defeats Goliath? He was just asking. His brother got angry. Who do you leave the sheep at home with? Who do you leave them with? His brother never saw him greater than a shepherd. Just imagine David allowed that affect him and he just went home also. Just imagine. There are people, the moment you decide to get serious, you know what I've noticed? There is something about seriousness that makes mediocre people feel uncomfortable. It just makes, that's why some people hate you just for being a Christian. Because they want what you have. So you mean you are able to just live for God, be serious about purpose, and just try to do better in life and have a morally upright life? They can't stand it. They will hate you for no reason. It takes courage to change. It takes courage not to care what people say, to ignore the naysayers and just move on. Please, are you with me? It takes courage. I want you to be very courageous. I want you to give yourself a chance this year. Amen, somebody. And so every day this year, like I said, this is just a simple charge. Every day this year, you will be excellent. You will be excellent. Listen to me. If you are working for anybody, be indispensable. If you hear that they are downsizing and you are praying that you won't be among, that's already a problem. What is wrong with you? What is already... What? See, work on yourself to the extent that even if they let you go, you won't be out of job for 4 days. Are you aware it's possible? You have to. Oh my God. Whoa. work on yourself well enough to become indispensable. That your value will be screaming loud. Screaming loud. You're aware it's possible, right? It's not everybody that is replaceable. It's not everybody that is replaceable. I am telling you, there are still bosses who will say, we have learned by experience that God favors us because of you. It's possible. Please, number two, be hardworking. Be hardworking. Be hardworking. And you know the funny thing? When you do number one and you do number two, you get used to it, because I can tell you, success is addictive. It gets to a point, you see the result of the work, and that becomes motivation for you. You see how far you've come, and there is no turning back. Please say loud amen.
Amen.
The next point I'm going to share, and I'm almost done, live a life without entitlements. Or let me say, without entitlement mentality. Live life without entitlement mentality. Listen, I have discovered one of the greatest secrets of the patriarchs in the Bible. And what I just shared with you is what it is. It was a consistent pattern. They lived life without entitlement mentality. Think of Joseph. Do you realize the story of Joseph does not really stand out to you the way it should, because you know how it started and how it ended. But when you realize that Joseph was not sure how it went, and he was faithful every step of the journey, the faithfulness of Joseph makes sense to you because you know how the story ended. But when he was serious and faithful in Potiphar's house, it's not because he knew he would be prime minister. When he was faithful and serious in prison, it's not because he knew he would be prime minister. It is because that's who he was. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, I was listening to a pastor friend. The pastor, he posted an excerpt. What's his name? Pastor Philip. And then he said something. You know, the same way people try to excuse away things that people say. And, you know, Joseph is the favorite of Jacob. And they say, well, it's because of who gave birth to him. It's because of this. But, well, he went to Potiphar's house. Potiphar, who knew nothing about his history, and his favorite there again. And then he goes to prison, and then his favorite there again. At some point, you have to say, there is something about this guy. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is something about this guy. What, that's what I'm talking about. Value. With replicable consistency, everywhere you go, you are cherished, you are celebrated, because you've worked on yourself like that. And this is the part that blows my mind. Are you ready for what I'm about to say? Not once did Joseph remind God about the dream. Not once. Why am I here? Why am I washing plates? You said I will see the sun. He never, everywhere he went, he was faithful at that level. He gave it his best. That's what I'm talking about. No entitlement. No entitlement. Every patriarch of faith had what I'm telling you. I know I'll be great, but I'm not so fixated on greatness that I am not working with the opportunities I have now. Some people, their eyes are so much in the future, they are of no use in the present, and inevitably jettisoning the future that God already ordained for them. There is no way forward without being faithful now. Are you with me? And so that same Joseph, he washed the plates faithfully, cleaned the house faithfully, as if that was the finality of his destiny. So there must be a balance in your life where you know, listen, I am open to all that God has for me, but whilst I'm here, no grumbling, no complaining. You know some people, and this is something that even Christians do and must change. Because you have not gotten your dream job, you settle for other jobs, and then you are the most nasty staff ever. Everybody can tell you don't want to be there. They can tell. It's not the way of the world. Please, are you listening to me? So, listen, you can even understand him being faithful in Potiphar's house. But despite that, after his faithfulness to Potiphar, they still threw him in prison, and that still didn't break his spirit. Please, if you don't learn that, you don't know the story of Joseph. You don't know the story of Joseph. That if he ended his days in prison, he would have been faithful till the end. Jacob trusted him. Potiphar trusted him. The head of the prison trusted him. There must be something about you. This is the real character I must learn. You know what scared me about David? The exact same thing. First and foremost, with oil on his head, he didn't stop going to watch the sheep. He didn't stop. He still went every day. Went every day. Faithful there. Then when he became king, after killing Goliath and Saul fought him, he went to the Philistines and was ready to fight with them. Everywhere he went, he was ready to submit to the leadership there. Ready to start afresh. What if God gave you that kind of stamina? I am telling you, every patriarch of faith had it. Are you listening to me? Some people, when they dig one well and they seize the well, that's the end of their life. But it takes stamina to dig another one. Are you with me? It takes fortitude, a lack of entitlement mentality to always be ready to start again. Yes, I got fired in this job, but I will give it my best again. I'll give it my best again. I invested money. You know, some people, and this is the this is the thing they don't tell you about entrepreneurship, that no matter how much of a genius you are, you will fail. Maybe they've not told you before. Let me tell you something. There is almost no proper entrepreneur that does not have scars. Lift their clothes. You will have scars. It's part of it. It's part of it. But some, the moment they fail, that's the end. They give up, but not you. Did you hear what I said? Not you. Not you. You will keep coming and coming and coming again until every word God has spoken about you is fulfilled. Please say loud amen if that's you. I said you will keep coming again with consistency until every word God has spoken about you is fulfilled. Hallelujah. And so my charge to you is be strong and very courageous. Listen, that mountain before you will be made plain. Be strong and very courageous. Begin to, listen, embrace the possibility of greatness. Embrace it. I'll give you a few minutes. Just see all that God has said concerning you. And see it in past tense. See it done. See it done. See the companies founded. See the companies funded. See it done. See it done. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. Everything that you need is already done.
You already won. You already won. You already won. Yeah, you already won. Everything that you need, you already won.
The scripture says, by my God, I leap over the wall. By my God, by my God, it's already done. It's done, brothers. It's done, sisters. Every word that has been spoken about you is done. It's done. It's done. It's done. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. The funding has arrived. The property is yours. That travel documentation is sorted. It's already done. And it's already yours. Thank him right now. Thank him right now. Thank him right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.